up until I thought about it for a little bit, they were saying I was an expert on errors of the youth. And then they said, you're not very far removed from them either, so you got them fresh in your mind. Anyway, so that's what I'll be speaking on. I got a list of them. I'm going to go through just a list and kind of discuss a few points on each one. These are things that I've thought about a lot recently. And I don't really group, but you could kind of probably group them into some categories. Like, for instance, financial errors, moral errors, judgmental errors, and ministry errors. So I haven't grouped them in these. You can kind of look at them, and they probably kind of cross over and fall in. But that's, I think that young men, and mainly we're speaking to men here, but young men tend to commit certain mistakes in their life. And those mistakes, they're more than just, I think we have to look at them as being more than just inconveniences or speed bumps in your life, because they can go on to affect you for a very long time. And so I think they're important, and I don't think we can have the attitude that, well, that's just how young men are, and, you know, we all do stupid things when we were young. Well, not everyone does stupid things when they're young, or at least not everyone does that many. But there are errors that are very common to young men. So I kind of want to talk about some of them, go through some of them. Like, for instance, the first one is talking when you should be listening. Talking when you should be listening. Young men, it's interesting when you're in a room and you'll have, you know, some young men and some old men, it seems like the young men are doing all the talking all the time. And they're loud and they're boisterous and they're opinionated, and you have an old man standing there and he's not doing much talking, he's listening. Well, that really is not the way it should be. You young men need to shut up and you ought to listen. And you know, you're spending too much time talking, and when you're talking you can't listen. You can't do both. And I think it's a shame that and this is one of the reasons we decided not to have an open meeting in this particular men's meeting, was because we wanted to have experts talk about things they knew about. And what I've found in these men's meetings is that those of you older men who really do have something to contribute, you don't come prepared in the open meetings, or you don't get up and share it if you do. And these young men, who we call the empty heads, they get up and they want to talk and talk and talk. And they don't know much about what they're... And I'm not trying to say that the young men don't have a place to share, and we appreciate their zeal and their gumption and their desire, but that doesn't mean they have anything to say yet. And so, yeah, it's great if they want to participate some in the open meeting, but I think that the open meetings, especially in these type of meetings, we're talking about men's meetings, and we're trying to get some wisdom in the room, we're trying to get some experience. Well, those of you who are older, you need to shoulder your burden. So it's not just about the young people need to be quiet more often. You older people need to speak up more often. And you tend, you know, I understand is, you know, I have sons now, teenage sons, and they want to talk a lot, and they don't want to listen a lot. And you get tired of trying to talk to someone who doesn't want to listen. And I'm sure many of you have felt that way with me. And, you know, you got tired of talking to me and not me not listening. And I understand. Now I understand very well. But you can't give up on them. You've got to remember that you're the one. It's like when you're a parent. You've got to remember you're the parent. And you know what you're talking about. And you young men, you need to realize that it is a mistake to talk when you should be listening. And you need to think about that. When you find yourself and you realize that your jaws are getting sore, it's time to realize I'm doing a lot more talking than I should be doing. And I ought to be doing more listening, especially when you're around some men who actually have something, actually have lived through some things and thought through some things. You ought to be gathering what wisdom you can from them. I regret that there's been men in my life that were very wise, and I was there with them, I worked with them, or I lived in the same city as them, went to the same church as them, or they were still living and now they've passed on. But I had them there, I could have learned a tremendous amount from them, and I spent too much time talking and not enough time listening. So that's one of the common errors of youth, probably one of the most common ones. Another one similar to that is that you're opining when you should be reflecting. I know you have an opinion and you want to express it, but maybe you need to take more time and think about it. We tend to, young men tend to develop snap judgments and snap opinions. They don't think them through. They don't have any real experience to draw from. They just got some harebrained notion in their mind. And they might be right sometimes. Mostly not. And they tend to want to opinionate and opine when they ought to just say, you know what, I need to think this through a little longer. This isn't something I can really give an opinion on. I need to think about things a little bit more. And it's always humorous, and I think of it with a great deal of embarrassment, because I've think of myself. I can think of instances where I've done the same thing. It's embarrassing now to me. But you know, when you get some 20-year-old and he's talking about everything he's done and how he's, you know, he's really lived all. I hired this one kid. He's like 25 years old. And he's telling me I've done all this work and I've done. And I'm thinking, if you started when you were 3 like I did, you haven't done all that. There's no way. Give me a break. Young men want to talk about all this knowledge they think they have, or all this experience they have, when they really don't have much experience at all. And they need to reflect more and think more and actually develop real opinions based on fact and experience and not just based on, you know, just pulling stuff out of your hat. Another thing, a third one is, that a common error of the youth is innovating when you should be imitating. You're innovating, you're trying to come up with your own way, you want to be your own person. You want to be your own man. And you think what that means is you need to innovate and you need to throw out everything you've been taught, everything you've seen as an example, and you're going to blaze your own trail. That's a mistake. Trailblazers in the Old West didn't last long. There's a reason why there are trails. They're usually the best way to go.
That's right.
You need to realize that what you need to do as a young man is you need to learn to imitate older men. There's going to be a time in your life where you're going to diverge in some things and in some areas. And you're going to, after careful thought and consideration, you're going to realize that in some areas of your life, you're not going to be able to walk the way everyone else has walked. And that's fine. But the only way you're going to know that that's the right time and the appropriate place and instance is if you have, in your youth, imitated those before you. It's how you learn to play chess. They get these books, and all you do is play these games that everyone else, that others have played, the masters have played, they call them. And they take these games, and you just repeat the moves. And you look, and you just play the same exact game over and over, and you play all these games that all these master chess players have played, and that's how they teach you to play chess. So that once you understood why they're doing what they're doing, then you can contribute your small part and innovate a little bit. But young men want to innovate everything, and that's why they get themselves into terrible binds. And another one is that you're assuming things when you should be learning things. Young men tend to want to base their lives off of assumptions. They make assumptions. They think they have real good intuition. They really have a high opinion of themselves and of their intuition, of their assumptions, and they make assumptions about things, about how things work, about how people are, and they act upon those assumptions. That's why they're constantly getting themselves into problems, because they don't have anything to back up those assumptions. Those assumptions aren't based on reality. You need to realize that you need to learn some things, and that takes some time. This isn't something you're gonna, okay, it's like with my children, I hate to use you boys as an example, but with my children, I say, why don't you think about it for a while? And for a while, in my vocabulary isn't the same as in their vocabulary. They come back 20 minutes later, okay, I've thought about it.
Yeah.
You haven't thought about it? You haven't even understood it yet. I mean, let's talk about it next year. That's thinking about it. Let's take a year and you think about it. Of course, for them, a year is like, you know, 2/3 of their life. They're like, what? A year? I'll be dead in a year. Well, then it won't be a problem. Then what are we talking about? It takes some time to learn, and you need to not act upon assumptions. You need to actually learn some things. All right. A fifth thing that I thought about as a very common error of the youth is idolizing when you ought to be apprenticing. And there's a difference between these two things. I find young men tend to idolize people. And that's a mistake. Typically, when you idolize someone, you're idolizing the wrong people.
Right.
We got, you know, I think we have a whole generation of young men who are idolizing sports figures. Mm-hmm. And just because they can play a football, that is not someone you ought to be looking up to. Yeah. That is a serious mistake. They idolize the brashest, the loudest,
yeah.
the most flamboyant,
yes.
And not necessarily the wisest at all.
Yeah.
And what you ought to be looking for is somebody with accomplishment in their life.
Amen.
And you ought to be apprenticing from them. Nurse, you ought to be following in their footsteps and watching them as if you were trying to learn a trade. And it doesn't just apply to work. This applies to every area of life. Go find a good parent and see how they raise their kids. You may not like how they raise their kids, but if you like how their kids are,
yeah.
Well, maybe you ought to say, you know what? Maybe there's a formula there that works.
Yeah.
If you don't like being poor, Why don't you find someone that actually has worked and made money and is wealthy and say, what did you do that? Show me how I can do that. That's why you got in the trade, right, Gary? You saw an electrician that lived nearby and he had money. And you said, I want to be like that. Well, that's what you need to do in all areas of your life, you young men. You need to find somebody who has success where you would like to see success, and you need to go and say, teach me. Show me how to do that. Let me get around you and just observe you and let me see how that happens. You want to be a preacher? Why don't you find someone who's a good preacher and learn how to preach? Instead of just getting up and just boring us all to tears, why don't you find someone who knows what they're doing and just watch them and say, how do they prepare a message? How do they present the message? How do they do these things? And in every area where you would like to see success, why don't you do that? Instead of idolizing people, why don't... Because idolizing is kind of like, it's a useless thing to do. It's lifting someone else up, and it's all at the same time feeling you're lifted up because you're part of their little group, their little clique, and it's just a useless exercise. But apprenticing with somebody, that is actually useful. You actually get something from that, and that's what you need to do. And if you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, you probably have never done it. And you ought to. You ought to do that. Sixth one I thought about was when you're arguing, when you ought to be apologizing. Someone comes to you and corrects you, and you argue the point.
Yeah.
And I know what it is. I still do it. Yeah. My wife corrects me, and my first reaction is to argue the point. And we all probably do that. It's probably typical. It's really typical of young men. And it makes it very hard for older men who are just tired of dealing with fools to give you the time of day. They're like, you know what? Just go right ahead. You just do whatever you want. And you think you won the argument. See, I taught him. I told him. He left me alone. No, you stupid. You didn't win the argument. You lost. You lost the argument and you lost the war. You need to realize someone comes up to you, especially someone with some wisdom, some years, some experience, and they tell you, you know what? You're not doing that right. Maybe you ought to just listen. You ought to say, I'm sorry. I want to learn. Tell me where I'm wrong. You know, if you and all of us had more of that attitude, we would be a lot better off in our life. You really would. Quit defending yourself. Young men feel like they got to defend themselves all the time. No one's going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you to be criticized a little bit. It's not going to hurt you to bear a little bit of the brunt of a little bit of criticism or a little bit of a judgment. It's not going to hurt you. Certainly isn't going to destroy you. And in most cases, it's going to help you a great deal. And if you can't take a little bit of criticism from people who love you, what are you going to do with people who don't love you? If you can't run with a footman, you're not going to keep up with the horses. And they've got a whole generation of kids who can't handle it.
That's right.
And now we got schools telling us, you know, you can't say certain words. You can't tell a kid boo because he might cry and hurt his little feelings. Where do you think all this is coming from? They can't take rebuke of any sort. They can't take criticism of any sort.
Right.
And it's a typical error of the youth. Another one is seeking entertainment when you should be seeking enlightenment. A.K.A. turn off your stupid video games. Turn off your television and pick up a book.
Amen.
I'm not joking. There's, you know, I get these young men that come to me many times, here some and in Mexico a lot. How can I preach better? Read more.
Yeah.
It will help you immensely. How can I, you know, be a better worker? Learn more. People want to get paid, and I'm an employer, so it kind of hits home on this, but people want better wages, but they don't want to put any time or effort into it. I started out working at what I'm doing at $10 an hour. And at 3 weeks, they gave me a $10 raise. And then 3 more weeks, they made me the boss. Well, there's a reason why. It isn't because I happened to fall into some lucky little spot. It's because I was taught from very young how to do this stuff. And I was forced to learn. Whether I liked it or not. And that knowledge paid off in my life, and it'll pay off for you too, young man. But that entertainment that you think you need so badly, you have to go out. It's the weekend. I work with people like that. You would think it's two different worlds. You would think it's two different worlds where I work. There's a few people like me who make real money, and then there's everyone else doing the exact same thing, and they're always broke. And the difference is the attitude with which they approach the job. It's a completely different attitude. Friday at 3:30, the majority of people are walking around happy because it's beer 30, and that's what they call it on the job sites now, beer 30. And they get to go home, and they get to stop at the Exxon, and when you go to an Exxon at Friday in the afternoon, you know how it is. They're lined out the door buying beer. That's the one world of construction. The other world of construction are those of us that are begging the superintendents to stay till 8. Because that's when you really start making money. There's a big difference between those two people. You need to be of the second type of people. You need to be the type of people that you don't need entertainment right now.
Yeah. Amen.
When you're old and you can't walk anymore,
Amen.
And you can't chew a steak anymore, you can sit in front of your TV and Amen. Watch it till your eyeballs fall out. I know you think it's the weekend and oh, we live. I have employees who will be sick or be have to go do reserve day or do whatever they do. They take a vacation, whatever, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but they still want Saturday off. I don't understand that. What do you need Saturday off for? You just took 3 days off, but it's the weekend. That's stupid. And you need to realize that. You need to look to occupy your time in something that is going to better you, not entertain you. But that's common in youth. We want, when you're young, you want to be entertained, you want to have fun, and everything that's not fun, not interesting. All right. Eighth error I thought about when you're talking about errors of youth is mistaking bravado for experience or bluster for competence. Just because you're louder than other people doesn't mean you're right. In fact, when we raise our voice to make our point, it's usually because we lack facts. And you need to realize that just being loud and being brash and bold doesn't mean you're competent. And you need to look for competence in your life, in every area of your life. If you're whatever it is you do at work, you ought, like my dad said, you ought to be trying to be the best at it. Not just the best you could be, you ought to have a goal of being the best at it. And maybe, you know, look, I'm not saying you can at everything. Maybe your talents don't lie there and you ought to seek something else. But I think most of you can find something where you can work, where you can become extremely good at what you do.
Amen. Amen.
But it isn't going to be because you're loud and obnoxious. That doesn't make you any better at it. Which leads me to the ninth thing. A common error of the youth is that they're R and R-ing when they ought to be W-O-R-K-ing. They're rest and relaxing when they ought to be working. You do not need rest and relaxation when you're 20 or 18. You need to go to work. You do. You think, oh, I've just worked so much. I don't think so. I think you ought to work more and rest less. I think if you think you're tired now when you work and you're 19,
yeah.
What are you going to do when you're 50? You ought to work now hard so that when you're older, you don't have to. If you'd put in the hard work today, when you're those of you who are young, and save money today and work hard today, you won't have to work so hard when you're older. I look at this old man at this job site where I work now, and he's 65 years old. And he pushes his trash buggy around that job site all day long, picking up trash, and begging scraps of aluminum off of me to pay for to put gas in his car. Comes along, he says he'll pick up all my trash if I give him my scrap aluminum so he can put gas in his car. Now, for all I know, he may have a Jaguar, and that's just his chick.
He might,
but I don't think so. You don't want that to be you. But if you waste away your youth, when really the only thing you have going for you is brute strength, you don't have much up top, you don't have much in the tank, and experience, but you're strong and you have energy.
Yeah. Amen.
And you ought to use it while you can. I'm 38 and it's already harder than it was 5 years ago. And boy, I can just imagine what it's going to be like when I'm like these other guys around here.
It's coming, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. You're coming like the hombre caminante says in Spanish. Slow and steady, but it don't stop. Right now, when you're young, you need to put your time in and you need to get to work. And I'm serious about that. You really do.
Amen.
You need to get to work. I didn't always understand that. I know my dad was like that from the time he was born. He came out with a hammer. I resisted that. I had to be forced more. I didn't think of work that way. And you know, when you live in a... It was a little different in my home. I worked for food. I didn't get paid for it. And so that changes your attitude about work. But you live in the greatest nation on earth.
Amen. Right.
And I don't care how socialist it's becoming, and it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still the greatest nation
That's
on
right.
earth. And work still pays.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't pay every day, and it doesn't pay every time. But when you put it on the balance, it pays.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you'll work hard, it'll work out for you.
That's right.
It's the best way to get ahead, and you will get ahead.
Yeah.
And then you'll have time someday to rest and relax. It's not now. Oh, 10th error of the youth I thought about was pampering yourself when you ought to be challenging yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be pampering yourself. You don't need to be looking for comfort and cushy stuff.
Right.
You ought to be challenging yourself. You ought to be seeing just what your limits are. And I don't mean seeing how many times you can roll my van down I-35. Not in that sense. Don't push those limits. Speed limits exist for a reason.
Yes.
But you ought to be challenging yourself. You ought to be seeing and pushing yourself to do more. Don't be satisfied with what everyone else does.
Amen.
Like I was telling you, the difference in every job that I've seen, especially in the construction business, and those who really make money at it and those who make a living at it, is those 2 or 3 extra hours you put in before you go to work, 2 or 3 extra hours you put in after you get home from work. People, you know, see these tools I have for doing what I do. Those don't grow on trees. I come home at 10 o'clock at night and I sit out there and I build them and weld them up, and then I take them to work the next morning. And it cuts time off the day and I make money. That's where my profit comes from. Well, you need to challenge yourself and you need to push yourself. I wasn't always like that. I wasn't like that at all, in fact. If anything got a little uncomfortable, I didn't want to do it. If it wasn't incredibly fun, I wasn't interested. If it wasn't new, my dad knows. I tore apart everything in our house, and once I got bored of seeing how it worked, I just put it in a box and threw it away. I wasn't going to put it back together. I didn't want to do anything to completion. I just wanted to have fun. And I had to learn. And you need to learn. That what you need is not to pamper yourself and please yourself and appease yourself. You need to push yourself and challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to finish things.
Amen.
Set a goal and
Amen.
Actually do it.
Amen.
That's a challenge. It's hard. It's not easy. I still struggle with it, and I think a lot of people still struggle with it. But that's a good thing to challenge yourself on. Challenge yourself to stay up a little later or get up a little earlier, perhaps.
Amen.
Challenge yourself to say, I'm going to find a job where I can learn something. You know, look, I'm not against any work. I think all work, if it's honest, it's good.
That's right.
But there's some jobs that are dead-end jobs. There just really are. You ought to find a job that will teach you something, whether it be a manual skill like construction or something like that, or whether it be a computer skill or something in an office, but where you're actually going to learn something. Don't just do something every day because it gives you a paycheck. There's no future in that. You need to challenge yourself. Challenge yourself spiritually. Push and see just what you can do. There's people that always cry and complain. In the open meeting, this is where it's, I think, most evident. I can't do that.
Yeah.
But they've never tried.
That's right.
You'd be surprised and shocked and in awe at what you're actually able to do.
Amen.
If you just push yourself a little
Amen.
Further.
Right.
Just push Amen. Yourself that one step further, you'd be surprised what you can do. I've never run a marathon. I don't ever plan on running a marathon. But I've talked to people who have, and they all say there's this point in it where you're like, you hit a wall, and you feel like you can't go any further. It's just like, bam. And everyone I've talked to who's run a marathon says it's there. They hit that wall, and they just want to quit every time they run it. And they say that you just have to push through. If you challenge yourself and you push through, in just a little while, it'll go away. And then it's like you get the second wind, and then you're like, you're good to go. Well, some of you come up to these little walls in your life, and because you've never pushed through them, those walls are very close, and they keep you down. They keep you from really accomplishing much, and you need to push through them, and you need to challenge yourself to do more. Okay, and that leads me to the 11th thing, is that you... A common error of the youth is giving up when you ought to be persevering.
Don't give up.
Amen.
Now, if you've set unreasonable goals, you need to reevaluate that, but you need to set reasonable goals, and you need to not give up on them. You fall down, stand back up. Life knocks you down, get back up. Don't lay on the ground feeling sorry for yourself. It's one of the biggest mistakes you do with the devil. The devil loves when you lay on the ground because he likes to kick you when you're down. He'll kick you all day long. You can't play possum with him. You gotta persevere. 12th thing is spending when you ought to be saving. Now, this is my biggest error of my youth. I spent every dime I had, every dime Chase had, Bank of America had, and anyone else foolish enough to loan me money. You'd be surprised, young man, how much money you have made in your life and how much money you spent. You need to be saving, not spending. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot more about that. I've dealt a lot with financial issues and people in my church are tired of hearing it. But that is a common error of youth, is that they spend all their money. And then all of a sudden, they want to get married, no money. They want to have a baby, no money. They want to buy a car, there's no money. Why is there no money? They weren't saving. There may be some places in the world where there's no money because there's horrible corruption, because there really is no jobs. There are jobs in America. There's jobs in the worst areas of America. There are jobs. There's not jobs people want, but there are jobs. And if you go and say, look, I'll work for whatever, and I'll do whatever, and you'll really have that attitude, you can find a job. I have ads in Craigslist all the time, and I can't hire anybody because they won't call. And I pay more than minimum wage, and they won't call. It's ridiculous. Anyways, spending when you ought to be saving. Last one I want to deal with, and this is the one that I think, at least for me, has been the most important to learn lately, is acting when you ought to be waiting. Men, as Ben just pointed out yesterday, want to fix things, want to roll up their sleeves and get into things. They don't want to stand and wait. It's very hard to wait. It's especially hard for us who are older, who've been involved in something, whether it be a job or a ministry or whatever, and kind of get knocked down in that. Your tendency is to immediately want to jump right back in. And many times it's a big mistake. It's a big mistake. You ought to wait. Or stand back and say, I need to catch my breath, and I get my feet back under me. I need to reevaluate some things. I need to assess why it didn't go right and kind of try to not do that again. And that takes some time. And all of this I'm saying might lead you young men to think, I need to get out and act. And really what you need to do is you need to be a little more patient in your life. Some of you might be thinking, if you've already done it, it's too late, but some of you might be thinking of getting married right now. And maybe you ought to just wait a little while. You can always get married later. You can't get unmarried later. You can get divorced, but that's not the same thing. You can always buy a house later. You can't unbuy the house. Everything you're thinking you need to do now, and young men are incredibly impatient. What they want now, not tomorrow, not next year, and that's why they'll send you credit cards to every young man because they know how they are. And that's why they market to that group of age group. Young men is the premier marketing group. That's who everyone's trying to reach because they know how they are. They're impatient and they want it now. And you need to be waiting, not acting. There'll come a time, and you'll know when it's time to act. And when it's time to act, you need to act without hesitation. But a good thing for you to learn and repeat to yourself as a mantra is that when you're in doubt, you should hesitate, should hold off, should wait. And your life will be better for it. All right. Leads me to three main points I want to make based on all this and end with that. First off, it's a huge mistake, and this is more of a general thing. I kind of dealt with some specifics, but a general thing. It's a huge mistake to believe that you're entitled to make these errors. There, I'm a young man. That's how young men are. You're not entitled to make these mistakes or many others that could be mentioned. You're not entitled to do so. That your youth would be incomplete if you didn't sow your wild oats. No, it wouldn't be incomplete. You'd be much better.
Yeah. Amen.
You'd be able to think back on your youth without shame,
Amen.
Without embarrassment, and without regret.
Amen.
Not very many people can do that. And you don't need to be listening to these yahoos who have messed up their life because they think they're entitled to do stupid things. It may be unavoidable, but it's not entitled. You're not entitled to it. Another one is believing that these errors will not affect you in the long run. They will.
That's true.
They will affect you in the long run. You think, they're heirs of the youth. They don't matter. They do matter.
Yeah.
There's people that I cannot hire because they have a criminal record. And I cannot hire them because we work at NSA buildings, schools. Do you realize that you cannot work at any, no matter at what level, at any public school, or actually I think any school, I think maybe just be public. Anyways, any public school, if you have any drug-related charges on you, ever,
right.
Ever. I had a young man who got into trouble and he was like 19 with drugs. He was 60 years old. They would not let him on the school job. He hadn't been in drugs since then. No trouble. He's Christian. They dug back 40 years before. He had a drug charge. Cannot work on a school campus in any capacity. Not even at night. They will haunt you for the rest of your life. It's the world telling you that that's innocent fun. It's not a big deal. You'll outgrow it. You may outgrow the mistakes, but you're not going to outrun the consequences. You would better think about these things. You think, 90% of them won't come back to haunt me. 10's enough.
You're right. 10 is enough.
One last thing. It's a huge mistake to believe that you will undoubtedly outgrow these errors. We call them errors of the youth, not because only young people do them, because that's when they start. For most people, they never end. I think we can look at ourselves, those of us who are older, I know I can, in the mirror, and look at this list, and a list that many of you could compile of different ones, and realize that a lot of these things, none of us have outgrown them yet. I'm still spending what I should be saving. I'm still making these stupid mistakes that I'm mentioning now. I'm still fighting the urge to want to pamper myself instead of challenge myself, to want to rest and relax instead of work. I still fight these things. I have to drag myself out of bed every morning. I'm not like my dad. He pops out, ooh, let's go to work. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work I go. And he's singing, we're all just like, shut up. Maturity and wisdom are not synonymous with age. You can't hardly have them without age.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people with age that don't have them.
That's right.
A lot of people.
That's right.
So we may call these heirs of the youth, but I think they may start when you're young. They may be prevalent when you're young. And you may learn to kind of masquerade around them and hide them and work around them and deal with them, kind of like a disability. You kind of learn to get around and you kind of lose a finger and you learn how to, pick your nose without it. But that doesn't mean, that does not mean that they are not present even in older men.
That's right.
And they need to be dealt with. In the book of Job, chapter 20, verse 11, speaking of the wicked and the hypocrite, it says that their sins of their youth go with them all the way down to the grave and into the dust. It's in their bones, it says. It says their sins of the youth are in their bones and go with them into the grave to dust. These are not things that you're just going to outgrow. You're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to confront them, and you're going to have to deal with them. Now, what I did, and I've mentioned this before, some of you have probably heard it. What I did a while back is I made a list. And at first, I was very nearsighted, and it was a very short list. And then my wife helped me, and it got much longer. But I made a list of things I knew I needed to change in myself. And I realized I couldn't change them all. And so I ordered them in what I thought was most egregious at the top. And I started at the top. And I worked on that one. Consciously. And when I felt I had some success, and I went to the next one. And I worked on that one. And I worked my way down that list. And those that know me in that time, I think, can testify or give... will testify that there was a change in my life in that period of time.
There was.
And it wasn't easy. And it certainly wasn't comfortable. But it paid off some. And I've tried to maintain that discipline since then. Not as fervently as I did then, but I have tried. You might need to do something similar to that. And I say you, not just you young men, but all of you.
Amen.
You have some heirs of the youth still dragging behind you. You need to deal with them. Don't treat them as disabilities, something you need to learn to work around.
Yeah.
Treat them as curable diseases. You can get rid of them. You can actually overcome them. You can actually deal with them and vanquish them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to drag them with you all the way to your grave. All right?
Amen.
Anybody have any questions?